Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Isn't it good to be together? Wasn't the worship, the baptisms, everything absolutely beautiful this morning? Well, it is my privilege to be sharing God's word, and it always is an amazing privilege to be doing so, one that I don't take for granted, one that I hold with high esteem because they're not my words, but are God's words. And I believe that God has given me a word for our church today, a word in season, a word that if we take hold of, we will live, as our series title is, another kind of life. If you're new with us today, I know we've got a couple of new guests with us this morning. We are in this series entitled Another Kind of Life. And Pastor Kudu preached a powerful word last week on how we can live a life of conviction. You know, there's so few of us who live these days by conviction. And it's another way of living. It's the way of a Christ follower, where we live by conviction. And if you missed that, I want to encourage you to hop onto our YouTube channel, catch up, because we are in a journey together on learning how it is that we as Christ followers can live another kind of life. This other kind of life, it is a countercultural life. Instead of feeling worthless, it's a life filled with worth. Instead of feeling hopeless, it's a life filled with hope. Instead of feeling sad, it's a life filled with joy. I don't know. I know you're the 8:30 a.m. service, but these are encouraging things. Like, these are things that require a good response. Now, I don't know if the person next to you is not awake, just give them a slap. I give you permission. Give them an elbow. You know, a life filled with joy. Okay. All right. I know you're the 8:30, but it's warm. It's cool in here. You've had a coffee. If you haven't, hit your neighbor. It's your own fault. I've had two already. You know, instead of greed, it's a life filled with thankfulness. Instead of being lost, it's a life filled with purpose. And so today we're going to enter into another part of this series of Another Kind of Life. And so if you'd be so kind as to stand, to place your hands on your hearts, to open up your eyes, your ears, your heart to hear from God. What is He saying to you today as we enter into this service? God, we're grateful for your presence in this place. We know, and scripture tells us that where two or three of us are gathered in your name, that you are in the midst of us. And so we acknowledge that you are present and you are working and you are speaking and you are prompting our hearts. And would you do so as we go into the remainder of the services? Oh God, would you use my fallible words to communicate your infallible gospel today? May we live and apply living another kind of life after today. In your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Many of you know part of my story, that after I got married in the first few years, that how I struggled with a really deep depression. A depression that just took a hold of me, that made me feel completely hopeless. There was no reason for it. There was no, like, it just came out of nowhere. I had a loving husband. I had friends. I had a church community. It came out of nowhere. And I decided to go on a missions trip. And on the end of that missions trip, that depression was completely gone. It was lifted. And what you need to know is that this depression, it seeks to want to take a hold of me from time to time. I have gone through a few seasons of depression. This was probably my worst season of depression. But every time I enter into a place where I'm feeling like, oh, I'm not feeling myself. There's a lack of joy in my life. There's a lack of purpose. There's a lack of, you know, wanting to do the things of God in my life. I have to speak to myself. And I have to say to myself, Candace, it doesn't have to be this way. There is another way to live. You don't have to let depression take a hold of your life. And so you need to fight. You need to get the right medication. You need to see the right psychologist. You need to do the right thing. You need to go and get some exercise. You need to put the right things in place so that you can fight. Because there is another way to live. There is a better way to live. There is a way to live of a way to live with joy and a way to live with freedom and a way where there's abundance and fullness of life. And so I have a decision to make from time to time about how it is that I want to live and what it is that I'm going to pursue. I'm sure that each of you in different areas of your life, there are things that want to hold you back, things that want to chain you, things that want to bind you from living fullness of life. And so today you're going to help me welcome my incredible volunteer, Matthew Tupper. Would you give him a huge hand? I call him a volunteer, but he wasn't really. I just made him be the volunteer. Now, this is what our lives look like from time to time. A P-Ware is going to bind Matt. There are things that come to us in our lives that want to bind us. There are things like struggling with addiction that wants to bind us, with alcohol, with drugs, with shopping addictions. It is a thing. With social media addictions, with sexual addictions. There are all sorts of things that we need to break free of. What about mental illness? Depression, anxiety is rife at the moment, holding people back from fullness of life. There are people struggling with eating disorders, perhaps eating too little, anorexia or bulimia or overeating. There are things that are holding people back from living fullness of life. There are people struggling with anger, with rage, with envy, with lying. There are people that just lie their whole lives away, like just lie, so that they appear better. There are people struggling with unforgiveness and even worry. And friends, today I'm saying to each one of us, we do not need to live this way. There is another kind of life available for us. If we allow these things to bind us, we don't get to live the fullness of life. Matt, now that he is bound, let's ask him to do a couple of things. Shall we? We could ask the community. Maybe you should run, Matthew. Run. Yeah. Okay, don't fall, Matthew. I haven't got any insurance for you. Okay, Matt, go and eat. Go and eat. Okay, his shackles, his chains are holding him back from fullness of life. I mean, he's doing it, but he's not doing it that well. Okay, now, Matt, go down the stairs and give someone a hug. Okay, no, don't go down the stairs. I'm scared. do you see what happens? These struggles that bind us hold us back from abundant life. They hold us back from fullness of life. You might be able to get by, but you're getting by with a limp. You're getting by in a half-hearted way. You're getting by, but it doesn't need to be this way. Apiwe, you can release my victim. It can be different, friends. It can be free. We don't have to be weighed down. We know that Satan's number one goal is to steal, kill, and destroy, and to keep us from living an abundant life. But Christ wants us to live. You can give a celebration, Matt. Thank you, Matthew. Christ wants us to live free. And so today I'm going to be speaking on how it is that we can live in freedom. How it is that we can live another kind of life, a free life, a life of abundance. And I'm going to do so using Mark 5, verses 1 to 20. It's a fairly lengthy portion of text, but bear with me. It is an incredible text as well. It says this. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves, and he could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him and ran to meet him and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." And he replied, Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside of this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, and he was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and to leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, but Jesus said, "No. Go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of the region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. How powerful is that? I'm sure you've read this before, but today we're going to unpack it together. And there are a couple of things that we can learn from this demon-possessed man and from what captivity does to us and why it is that we need to pursue freedom because of what captivity does to us. So reading the scripture, we see a couple of things. The first thing we see is that captivity results in isolation. This man was alone wandering in the burial grounds. There wasn't a community around him. He had been isolated. You can be sure that this wasn't how he started his life. He was born into a family. He was raised in a community, but he ended up alone in burial grounds. We don't know why that is. We don't know if he chose to be alone or if his community kicked him out because he just wasn't able to be contained. But the bottom line is, he was alone. Friends, I don't know whatever the struggles are that you are facing, whatever the things that are binding you, but they have the potential to isolate you. Depression has the potential to isolate you. Self-harm has the potential to isolate you. Addiction has the potential to isolate you. And it's a dangerous place to be because Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this, that a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. They are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Friends, what I want to say to us today is that our struggles, the things that want to bind us, they can cause us to be isolated and to withdraw from community. And it's a dangerous place to be. It's better to be in community. So even if you are struggling, struggle in community. Even if you are struggling, because you can fight with others in the context of community. The second thing we see from this man is that captivity results in self-harm. Self-harm. Besides the fact that he was psychologically harming himself by withdrawing from community, he was physically harming himself. He was cutting himself. He was harming himself. Now, I know that all the struggles that we face have the potential to cause us to harm ourselves. Addictions cause us to harm ourselves. Rage causes us to harm ourselves. All of the things that we struggle with cause us to harm ourselves. James 5, verse 16, it says this, and it's a powerful thought. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Then it goes on to say the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Friends, these struggles cause us to harm ourselves. Harming ourselves is a sin. The reason harming ourselves is a sin is because Satan wants us to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's how much better if we can do it to ourselves. And so, a way out of this for ourselves is to confess to one another, hey, I have this addiction, I need help. Because the power of sin is in its secrecy. It's in the fact that we're not telling one another. We're not sharing with our community. We're not sharing with our pastors. We're not sharing with our life groups. We're not sharing with our family so that we have an accountability that can take place in our lives. And so we need to confess to one another. Captivity also results in broken relationships, the third thing. He was alone. Something must have happened for his family and him to part. There must have been some sort of broken relationships. We don't know what that looked like, but what we do know is that there was pain. The reason we know that there is pain is they are not together. You know, it must be a terrible place for a family to release you and say, like, I can't deal with you anymore. I can't deal with you anymore. That tells you the amount of pain that they were experiencing. And so, friends, what I need to say is our struggles that we have, whatever they might be, whether it's an addiction or an eating disorder or a mental illness, we need to understand that it's not just harming us. It's harming our loved ones as well. And so our fight is not just for ourselves. Our fight for freedom is for our families. Our fight for freedom is for our loved ones. Our fight for freedom is for our parents and our children and our marriages. And so when we are struggling, we need to admit that we are struggling, but not stay in the struggle, because it's not just for us, it's for our families that we need to be fighting. Captivity also results in uncontrolled behavior. If you look at this demoniac, he could not control himself. He was not in his right mind. Other versions, there's two other versions of the same story, say he was wandering around naked. This version doesn't say that. He was animal-like. He was howling. He could not be contained by chains. He was wild. And others could not control him. Friends, our struggles have the potential to cause us to have uncontrolled behaviors in our lives. Things that we are not able to take a hold of. And this is not uncommon, friends. Paul says this so clearly in Romans. Romans 7, 18 to 20 and 23 says this. And I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. So he's talking about it in his humanity, nothing good lives in him. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. And this power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Friends, uncontrolled behavior can take a hold of our lives where we can't control ourselves and where others can't control us when sin takes a hold of our lives. And at this point, you're like, Candace, are you just going to like depress us for the rest of today? I promise there's a good end point. Like I know right now you're like, okay, I may as well leave. There's no point. No, don't leave. This is the reason you stay. There's hope at the end of this story. All right, the final thing, and then I will move to hope, I promise, is that captivity also results in us being close to death. He was in the tombs. He was allowing death to rub off on him. Not life, death. Death was slowly creeping into his life. Friends, the longer we allow ourselves to be in places of struggle, the more likely it is that we are not living an abundant life. We are close to death. And this doesn't need to be a physical death. It can be if addiction takes a hold of you, but it can also be a spiritual death that takes place in your life. Things are dying, not thriving. We know John 10:10 says that the thief, Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. His ultimate goal is the death of our spirits. That's Satan's ultimate goal. But, Christ says, I have come to give you life and life abundantly. And so that's what we hold on to. So the depressing part of this story is that when we are in a struggle, when we are bound, like Matt was, when we are bound, this is what happens to us. Isolation, self-harm, broken relationships, uncontrolled behavior, and being close to death. But the positive is the complete opposite. When you and I are free, when the shackles are not binding us, we live integrated lives. Lives in community, lives in our families, lives part of God's life. We live lives of self-love, not in an egotistical, like weird narcissistic way, but where we actually like ourselves. Because God created me in the image of my loving Heavenly Father. We also live in whole relationships. When we live in freedom, our relationships are whole. Our relationships are healthy. Our relationships are thriving. My marriage is thriving. My family is thriving. When we live in freedom, our behaviors are controlled. Because sin is not greater in me than Christ in me. And so I am able to control what I am doing because of Christ in me. And finally, I get to live a fullness of life. I mean, isn't that what we all want? Fullness of life. We don't want to be bound. We don't want to be half living. We don't want to be like, I'm coming. No, we want to live. We want to live life to the full. We want to live an abundance of life, a favored life, a blessed life. We want our children to thrive. We want our families to thrive. We want our lives to thrive and flourish. We want to live in freedom. And so right about now you're saying, okay, how? How? I've got these struggles. How? We're going to return back to the text one last time, and we're going to focus on verse 6 because it's a powerful verse, which I read super quickly, but it is the key to our thriving. They're going to pop it back on the screen, and it says this in verse 6. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. There's four things I see from the scripture. The first thing is, when Jesus. Friends, our freedom is not found in anybody else but Jesus. It's not found in any religion but in Jesus, in our Christianity and Christ being the center. It's not found in any self-help program. It's not found in anything but in Jesus. But Jesus. The freedom we're looking for is only found in Jesus. The next thing we see is that this man had a response to Jesus. It's so beautiful. He didn't just go, oh, there's Jesus. He saw Jesus. Point one. He ran to Jesus, not away from Jesus. Friends, sometimes in our struggle, we run from Jesus. In our struggle, we are ashamed. Adam and Eve, the story of like generations. We sin, we run from Jesus. We sin, we run from community. We sin, we hide, we cover up with fig leaves. This man didn't do this. In his nakedness, in his howling state, right? In his insane mind, with cuts all over him, he ran to Jesus. He moved towards him. He saw him. He moved towards him. And then the most powerful part of this whole beautiful story is that he fell to his feet, acknowledging that Jesus was Lord. He's saying, I'm struggling. But there's a bigger Lord than this struggle. There's somebody who can overcome the struggle in my life, and that's Jesus. If I fall on my knees before Jesus, the struggle will be broken and the chains will be gone. No man could stop and bind him and get him into his right mind. It was just the presence of Jesus and the words of Jesus that changed everything. The presence of Jesus and the words of Jesus. And so for us, friends, it's the same. If we want freedom in any area of our lives, if we want to live another kind of life, a life of abundance, a life of freedom, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life where we are not slave to addictions and things that are holding us back, the first thing we need to acknowledge is that it's Jesus, the one who can set us free. Scripture says, if the Son sets you free, the Son is Jesus. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You are free. It's in Jesus. The second thing is we have to see him. Many of you have come to church and you're like, I haven't seen Jesus. I'm here, but I'm waiting to see Jesus. Friends, today we're going to pray for shackles to fall from our eyes so that we see Jesus in this place. And then I'm going to encourage you to move towards him. Those who were baptized today, incredible, incredible, incredible. Well done. Come on, let's give them a hand. The reason it's incredible is that they're moving towards Jesus. They're taking an outward declaration and saying, hey, I follow Jesus, and they're proclaiming it to the world. I don't know what your next step is for moving towards Jesus. Perhaps it's to get into community. Perhaps it's to plug back into church because you've actually just like drifted away. But move towards Jesus for the freedom that you seek. And then finally, and I think most importantly, friends, when we fall to our knees and we acknowledge that he is our Lord and Savior, not the things that are binding us, not the struggles that we have, not the alcoholism, not the drugs, not the shopping, not the anorexia or the bulimia or the depression. When he is Lord, every other name needs to bow to the name of Jesus. A Scotsman by the name of Forsyth, he says this. He's from the 19th century, so bear with his English. The first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master. To find not its freedom, but its master. The other day I was thinking about two types of dogs. Just bear with my analogy here. I was thinking about a city dog, and I'm putting my dog in that category, Amigo. Not that it's as city as most places, but it's the type of dog that just wants to get out. You know, it's a dog that's sitting at the window, like looking for the cats that are passing, waiting for their owner to open the door so that they can bolt out. And if you're not smart enough and you haven't got garages to lock them in like we do, or while you're trying to open the door, the dog goes. And then you have to get in your car and drive and go, amigo, come back, come back. I don't know, maybe it's just my dog that is ill-disciplined, but this is what a city dog wants. It wants freedom. It wants to go. It wants to get out. It's tired of being cooped up in a house. It wants freedom. And then I was thinking about country dogs. Country dogs have the whole like valley to explore. And they do, and they go to the river, and, you know, they chase a skunk. You know what, like, you know, they get some food over there, and then, but generally, every country dog I have ever seen ends up on the porch next to its master. It's got the whole country to go. It doesn't want to go. It wants to be next to its master. Contentment and freedom for country dogs and for us. I'm not calling us dogs, I promise. It's found at our master's feet. Freedom is found at our master's feet. Today, friends, I'm going to pray for us. We're going to take a moment to respond to what has been said. I just wanted to quote Tozer quickly, and he says this: true and absolute freedom is only found in the presence of God. Friends, just like the demoniac man, we need to be in his presence and hear his words in order for us to grab hold of the freedom that Christ has for us in order to live this abundant life. And so this morning, I'm going to just start, if you wouldn't mind, with every head bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to just start with taking a moment to invite those of you here this morning to make Jesus your Lord, your Savior, and your Master, because that's the first starting point of our freedom. And perhaps you've never done that today. Perhaps you've never done that before. Or perhaps you've done that and you've stopped serving Him as your Lord, Savior, and Master. Well, then today's the day you get to make that decision. You know, friends, once we submit our lives to the authority of Christ, everything else falls into its right place. And freedom comes at the feet of our Master. And so in a moment, I'm going to ask you, if you would like to make Him Lord, Savior, friend, then I'm going to ask you to pop up your hand and I will include you in a prayer. It's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of saying, hey, I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. I want to make Jesus the one that I submit my life to. And with that, all my struggles get submitted to Him as well. And I'll just include you in that prayer. And so if that is you, if you would like me to lead you in this life-changing prayer on the count of three, no one's looking around. Every head is bowed, eyes closed. This is between you and God. If you want to submit your life to the Lord and Savior, then would you pop up your hand on the count of three? One, two, three. Hands up already. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So many hands. Thank you. Just leave it up so I can acknowledge you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? You want to make Him Lord and Savior of your life? That is the great starting point to freedom today. Thank you. God bless you. I see your hand. Anyone else? One last opportunity. I believe that God is speaking to a couple of you today and you're not responding. So now's the moment. Be like the man. Run towards Jesus. Run towards Him. Pop up your hand and let me include you in this prayer. One last call. I'm looking around. Thank you. I see those hands at the back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. All right. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to do a corporate prayer after that. If this is you, if you responded today, then would you just pray this prayer in your heart? Dear Father God, I come before you today with a humble heart. And I want to make you from today the Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that Jesus Christ, He was born sin-free. He died on a cross as payment for my sin. And that He rose 3 days later. Would you please forgive me of my sins and make me new? Today I receive your gifts of grace and mercy and I choose to follow you as the Lord and Savior of my life. In your name. And everybody said, amen. There's another category of people I'd like to pray for. So if you just stay where you are for a moment. This category of people are those who are struggling for freedom in your life. Nobody cares what that freedom is. This is between you and God. If you are here today and need an area of freedom, perhaps it's depression, perhaps it's from alcoholism. Yes, there might be work you need to do. You might need to go on an AA program. You might need to see a psychologist. But we also have the power of the living God in this place to break our chains, to break our chains. We sang that this morning. And so if that's you, if you're struggling in an area right where you are, would you pop up your hand? No one's looking around. Whatever it is that you need a freedom from, depression, anxiety, alcoholism, social media addictions, whatever it is, anorexia, bulimia, anger, rage, unforgiveness, envy. The Spirit of the living God is here. And I want to encourage you to see Him, to move towards Him today. Could I ask that we stand to our feet as I pray for those who have raised their hands? Father God, I pray right now in this place for every hand that was raised. God, you see us. You know us. And God, I pray for your freedom to move in this place. Would you break every chain? Every chain, would you break addictions? Would there be testimonies of you breaking chains in this place? Would you free us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. We know that Scripture says that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so, God, I pray for freedom. Freedom from mental illness. Freedom from anxiety. Freedom from depression. Freedom from addictions. Holy Spirit, would you breathe in this place, we pray. And would you do what only you can do? We've seen from Scripture that it's only in Jesus that we have this freedom. Only in Jesus. And so God, would you speak your word? And would you bring your presence? And would you make us a free people, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.